I'm going to start off by telling you there are no rules. I think that's what Burke said last week, wasn't it? Right, Burke? Yeah, he said that last week, but I think he was quoting someone who might have said it the week before. And it is strange to say there are no rules and then do a series on the Ten Commandments, because a commandment really seems like a rule to me. Well, we need to be very careful in delineating between what God says as the way that we should behave and act and what we say or make up our own set of rules to make ourselves seem acceptable or holy to God. You see, there are things that God requires of us, things that God says, these are the guidelines, this is the direction, this is the path I created you for. We tend to find other paths, but there's only one path that will lead us to the place where God created and designed and wants us to be. The Ten Commandments are the items that God has provided for us to live the way that he intended for us to live. I would say it's much like how a parent instructs a child. A parent instructs a child as the way that they should live. Give advice, encouragement, support. And the child has the opportunity to receive that guidance or reject the instruction. I would say that only by following the instruction do we find ourselves in the place that we want to be. And when we reject that instruction, we find ourselves where, well, ultimately, we don't want to be. That's how the Ten Commandments are in the life of a believer. Now, last week, Burke covered the first two commandments. And this week, we're going to look at commandment number three. Now, the Ten Commandments are one of those sets that I think sometimes we're wondering, do they still apply? Well, I would say most definitely yes, they still apply, because not only are they in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures, and a lot of people will make arguments, yeah, but there's a lot of other things in the Old Testament we don't seem to follow anymore. Jesus also taught the Ten Commandments. And this series is called The Ten Commandments for Today. So I don't want you just to understand the Ten Commandments from thousands of years ago when they were given to Moses, but I want you to understand the Ten Commandments for today on how we should interact with these now. Now, if I asked someone to come up here and tell me all 10 of the Ten Commandments, could you do it? Probably not. That's kind of like asking you to name the 12 disciples. You feel like you should be able to, but you just can't seem to do it. Or maybe if I asked you to come up and give me all the books of the Bible, you feel like, yeah, that's one of those things I should know, but I don't. Or if I asked you to come and tell me Jesus' middle name, most of you only know that the middle initial is H, but you don't know exactly what it is. A little slow on the uptake today. Because the third commandment is taking the Lord's name in vain. Let's look at them, okay? Now, when I look at the Ten Commandments and I look at this list, I have a hard time relating to them because they're said and spouted off in these little, short, few words, and I can't quite always make sense of them. They don't really register to me. So what we're going to do today is I am going to translate the Ten Commandments into a language or a phrase that I think encompasses it in a way that we need to understand it, okay? So the first one, first commandment, do not worship any other god than the one true God. All other gods are false gods, okay? That's commandment one. Commandment number two, do not make idols or images in the form of God. An idol can be anything or anyone that you worship by giving it more importance than God. That's what Burke talked about last week. It's anything that you give more importance than God. Could be an item, could be a person. And if something or someone has your time, attention, and affections, it then has your worship. And that could be an idol in your life. Commandment number 3, do not treat God's name lightly or with disrespect. Do not damage his reputation and character by wrongly speaking for him. Commandment 4, dedicate or set aside a regular day each week for Sabbath rest and worship of the Lord. Commandment number 5, give honor to your father and mother by treating them with respect, obeying them when godly, living in harmony, and not creating discord. Commandment number 6. Do not deliberately kill a fellow human being or have hatred in your heart towards another person. Number 7. Do not have sexual relations with anyone other than your spouse. God forbids sex outside the bounds of marriage, and that even includes lust in your heart for someone else. Commandment number 8, do not steal or take anything that doesn't belong to you unless you have been given permission to do so. Number 9, do not tell a lie about yourself, someone else, or bring a false accusation against another person. Treat others as you would want to be treated. And the last one, commandment number 10, do not desire anything or anyone that does not belong to you. Do not desire anything or anyone that doesn't belong to you. Comparing yourself to others and longing to have what they have leads to jealousy, envy, and other sins. Be content by focusing on the blessings God has given you and not what you believe he has not given you. That's the big 10. But today, we're doing number 3. Number 3, do not treat God's name lightly or with disrespect. Do not damage his reputation and character by wrongly speaking for him. Where do we find the Ten Commandments? Book of Exodus. Great place for the Ten Commandments. You'll find them. They're not in a short list there, but it's kind of a dialogue. And who received the Ten Commandments? Moses. And where was he when he received these? Mount Sinai. And they were given to him on what? Yep, an iPad. On stone tablets. And he brought these down, and there were a couple sets of them. And I think one of the greatest renditions, modern history, on the Ten Commandments and the giving of the Ten Commandments was done by Mel Brooks. I have overused this clip way too much, and so I'm not going to use it today. Just kidding.
Moses went to the mountain, and God spoke unto him.
Moses! This is the Lord thy God commanding you to obey my law. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. A deaf man could hear you.
What?
Nothing, I punish you, forget.
Oh Lord, why have you chosen me? What would you have me do for you?
I shall give you my laws, and you shall take them unto the people.
Yes, Lord!
You never knew how we got 10 of them.
God spoke unto him.
Hey, stop that. All right. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What is misusing the name of the Lord? Or some of your translations may say, don't use his name in vain. Can someone here this morning give me an example? And please remember, I'm not looking for the profanity that usually goes along with it, but an example of using the Lord's name in vain.
When someone says, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, for Christ's sake. Okay, good. Others?
Oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah. Others? God, I hate you?
Yeah,
could be. What in God's name? How about in texting?
OMG.
OMG. Yeah, do you ever think of that one? Or probably one I hear the most, especially in movies, is the GD. Won't spell that one out for you. This is misusing the Lord's name or using it in vain. Yes, you bet it is. And if you read the rest of the verse, there's a very strong warning for those that do it. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. So it's a command, and the command is so strong, it has the what the byproduct does if you use it or if you do it. This has caused Christians a lot of headache over the years to really try and identify what is misusing the name of the Lord. What is this? Because if you do it, you will not go unpunished. And if you're like me, you grew up in church learning that if you just use the name God or Jesus Christ or some form of that in your regular speech, when you're not talking about God or Jesus, that was using his name in vain. And I can certainly remember as a kid not really getting that. Like, how is that like a seriously punishable thing? But there it is in the Ten Commandments, so you just got to kind of go with what it says. Let me just say a couple of things here about this idea of using God's name in vain in these ways that we're talking about right here. What is the point? In our current culture, people that use God's name in that way, what is the point? Are they speaking about God or Jesus? Do they even care or have a thought about God or Jesus in their sentence? I would even argue that many who use God or Jesus' name in this way don't even have a relationship with him nor care about him. But yet they choose to use his name. I just don't get it. I don't know why it's so important to use God's name or Jesus' name in context like this when it has nothing to do with them. We're not evoking them, talking to them, even thinking about them in our conversation, yet we use their name in regular everyday language as a word of profanity. And I don't understand it. Why not use a different name? Why did we pick those? Why does our society today, you can't go to a movie without hearing this in a movie, and why not pick a different name? Why not Oh My Barney? I mean, it's a viable option. You stub your toe, Mickey Mouse. Or in our texting, OMBO. Why not? I mean, it seems logical to me. And we, when I say we, I mean even Christians, are so passionate about using God's name this way that we still do it disguised through a euphemism. We stay as close to the line as possible, thinking we're not stepping over when we use words like geez and gosh and golly and dagnabbit and doggone and cripes and dadgum. Those are all, do you know some of these date back to the 16th century? Gosh, golly, geez, 16th century words. We have been trying for centuries to say these words, but somehow expunge ourselves to cleanse ourselves from the consequence of them. And what is the point? Why are we so passionate to do this? Okay, here's the kicker. In fact, I'll go as far as say, here's my heresy, okay? I don't think that the definition that I just laid out for using the Lord's name in vain is at all what the third commandment means. I don't even think that God cares too much about the way we use it in our casual language or in movies today, or whether you use it as a euphemism or not, in the aspect of the third commandment. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. To use God's name as profanity, that's an issue. There's other verses that talk about that. But when it comes to the third commandment, do you really think that of the 10 things, I mean, he only gave us 10, did he choose one of the 10 just not to use his name that way? That's a pretty easy one to keep, isn't it? I would argue that this verse means something much different and something that actually is a real issue in our lives today that we struggle with today, that it doesn't have anything to do with this, and it's one we need to keep in check. Now, to make my point, we're going to go back to the verse in Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, but this time I'm going to use a different English translation that shows it a bit more clearly, the New American Standard Bible. And it says this: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And I want to look at two words. I want to look at the word "take," and I want to look at the word "vain." Now, the Old Testament was written in what language? Hebrew. So what we have to do is we have to look at the Hebrew word that's translated into English. And you're going to find that, like, the word "take," there really isn't, the Hebrew word that we've translated "take," there really isn't an English equivalent to it, which is why you see it translated so differently in different English translations. But we still can understand a definition. Now, how we define a Hebrew word in the Old Testament that's being used is we look to see how it is used in other places in the Old Testament. Through that, you can get a definition because you see how it's used. So if you think it means one thing, does it mean that in all the other places? If there isn't a lot of examples in the Old Testament of a word, then we also look at all the other Hebrew writings of the day, letters back and forth, casual conversation even. But still, if a word is used, can we tell in that sentence if the definition of it matches? You know, like when you read a book and you don't know a word, you can sometimes figure out the definition just by the context of the sentence. It's much the same way. We determine the definition as it's used in not just one place, but in dozens, if not hundreds, of different locations. The word "take" is an interesting one. "Take" is the Hebrew word nasal. It means to lift up. But not lift up like I'm going to lift something up. It's lift up. And it was used, in fact, if you look at legal documents, Hebrew legal documents, you see this word all the time because it was a word for taking an oath. It was a way of lifting something up to swear by it. Maybe that's another way to kind of put what this word "take" really means. It was the authority for something that you swore by. Let me give an example. We use Pastor Brian. I go to Pastor Brian's house and I say, "Can I borrow your car?" He says, "Yep, you can borrow my car." I get in his car, I drive down the road, police officer's driving by, decides he's going to pull me over for whatever reason. He pulls me over, and he says, "License, registration, please." I hand him the registration. He says, "This isn't your car." Is that correct? Yep. And what do I say to the officer? "I have permission. It has been okayed. Pastor Brian said I could drive his car." In that phrase, we don't have a word for this. We don't have a word for the "take." We don't have a word to say, "I'm going to lift up his name as the authority for me to be able to drive the car." But I still use his name. And we infer in that by saying that, I'm saying I have authority because he's given me authority to drive it. But this word means I'm going to lift up, I'm going to swear by, it's this thing that has allowed me to be able to do this. And so when it's saying God's name, it's saying to take is to lift up God's name in this aspect of kind of speaking for him or on authority of him. And then the word "vain." The word "vain," this is the word "shav," and it means empty and frivolous and insincere. It was used to communicate something that was worthless. A few weeks back, I went to Jeep camp. While at Jeep camp, I broke a part on my Jeep. I had to replace that part. The part that I broke got removed off of the Jeep, and it is now shav to me. It is shav to you. It is worthless. It is a piece of junk. It has no value. Okay? That's how you would use that Hebrew word in a definition, in a sentence. So, with an understanding of these two words, what is the third commandment saying? Can you pull it out? Let me paraphrase it in a couple different ways. Do not say God said something if God didn't say it. Don't lift up his name as your authority and treat it in a frivolous, worthless way. Or don't use God to get your agenda across. This is the third commandment. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Don't speak it in vain. Don't pronounce it in vain. Don't speak of it in a frivolous way. Don't use it as your authority for whatever your frivolous agenda is. This is the third commandment that God is talking to us about. And this is what we see taught throughout the scripture. In fact, I'll go as far as to say the definition we were talking about earlier, you will not find that anywhere in the Bible. You won't find one other place where what we have determined for the most part, that using the Lord's name in vain, there's an example of it or a teaching of it throughout the scriptures. But this one, you'll see all over the place. Let me give you an Old Testament example in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, 8 through 9. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. See, it's what they did in God's name. Hey, we want you to do this. God said to do this. That's breaking the third commandment. That's using God's name as your authority for your frivolous agenda, whatever it may be. That was God's word himself. Let's look at New Testament. Just one example of many in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 15, 8, 9. Jesus said this. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce. For they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. We see that today? Man-made ideas taught as God's command? We talked about some of those just a couple of weeks ago. And this is what we are guilty of. This is what we as a church, as Christians, are guilty of in breaking the third commandment. It's not just addressing the word you blurt out when you smash your thumb. But again, don't hear what I'm not saying. It is still a sin to curse with God's name. Places like Ephesians 4:29, Colossians 3:8, Proverbs 10:32. I mean, these are verses that are clear that we are to watch our language and not to speak in this way. But command number 3 of the Ten Commandments sounds more like this. God said, fill in the blank, so you should do what I say. I have a word from the Lord. I tell you what it is. Maybe one of the things they're finding as an abusive thing in Christian college campuses is guys that are actually coming up to girls saying, God told me that you're supposed to date me. And I know that sounds funny and silly, but they mean it in full spiritual manipulation of that girl. And schools are having to write statements to address this issue. Because who wants to disobey God? God told me that if you just have faith, you'll be healed of your cancer. God said if you give me more money, you'll be healed. God supports this war, or God doesn't support this war. God said women can't lead in church. But God said women can lead in church. God said marriage is between one man and one woman. God says marriage is just between two people who love each other. That's what God says. Jesus would be a Democrat. Jesus would be a Republican. God hates abortion. God does not see abortion as murder. God has only authorized the King James Version of the Bible to be used. God only likes hymns. God wants you to wear your Sunday best. God is okay with a man having multiple wives. It's biblical. God said this, and God said that. And these are the things that break the third commandment. And it's done in churches and conventions and protests and religious organizations every day. And most of the time, it is just us who say these things. And we use the name of God in a frivolous way to support our positions. And sometimes it's out of ignorance. Other times it's out of willful manipulation of what God actually said. And other times it's a result of us being lazy in our faith and not discovering what God really said about an issue, and instead just trusting our pastor or a blogger or whatever supporting organization's propaganda is out there. That's using the Lord's name in vain. Look, God is truth. Now, our truth or our desire for a different truth cannot change God's truth. Would you agree with that? That's not the cultural norm. But a truth is truth. And just because I want truth to be different than that truth doesn't make that truth different. True is true. The command to not use the Lord's name in vain would be frivolous if all it meant was not to say, "Oh my God," when you open that very perfect birthday present. How silly of a command if that's all it was. I say no. The third commandment is about protecting the truth, the nature, and the character of God so the world around us will see the truth of who He is. But too much of the argument in our culture today, right, is about us saying what God says and then finding that's not always the case. What about a guy who bombs an abortion clinic, says, "God told me to do this"? Did God tell him to do that? To kill that abortion doctor? If you think that, you and I are on polar opposites on that issue. God did not say to kill another person. But yet people use that. And then people hate the church and hate God. God says in the third commandment, don't use my name for your personal agenda. Don't lift my name up as the authority for whatever your frivolous ideas are. God does a good job of speaking for himself. We're to be the protectors of the truth. So much of the conflict and fighting between Christians and the culture have to do with our failure of keeping this commandment. God has always done a good job of speaking for himself and letting his truth be known without our interpretation of it all the time. I want you to take a look at a video here that illustrates this. It's called The Red Balloon.
This is a red balloon. It's true, it's red. We all know our colors. The absolute truth is that this balloon is red.
No, it's not. That's green.
What?
This right here is a green balloon.
That is the prettiest yellow balloon.
Yellow? This is red. Yeah, come over here.
No, it's green.
It's red!
Yeah, I know, it's a red balloon.
Hey, will you look at it from my point of view, please?
What?
Hey, nice blue balloon.
It's
blue.
Green!
Green? It's red.
What? Why are you saying it's red when it's blue?
Huh?
It's what? Totally purple from here.
Purple? Okay, you know what? Let's just settle this once and for all, okay?
Where are you going?
Hey, what color is this balloon?
I only see in black and white.
Okay. Hey, Mark, what color...
There is no balloon.
This is ridiculous.
Hey, I know what the problem is. Look, my mom taught me that this was blue. But, you know, then she said this is red and green, yellow, you know, and on and on.
Okay, I get that your mom taught you that that was blue, but I mean, that's not the truth.
Whoa, why are you talking bad about his mom?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Listen, I respect your mother.
Thank you.
And the way she raised you. She taught you that it was blue. Our moms taught us that it was red. That's the way it goes.
I thought you said it was green.
It is green. See, I'm smart. I went to college. And in college, I learned all these different theories about color.
Really?
And my color professors who have doctorates in color. Do you have a doctorate in color?
No.
It shows. Okay? They can't even agree on one theory of color, so you have to look at all the different theories and pick which one works best for you. And green is great for me.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
No, you can't just pick whatever color fits your life the best. Red is red.
Okay, do you know the word intolerant?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being right now. All right, you're shoving your opinion down my throat.
Okay, it's not my opinion, it's the truth.
Hold on. All we're saying is that we need to stop arguing about trivial things. Like truth.
You know, the funny thing about truth is, it's true, whether you believe it
or not.
I was born colorblind. I have what's called extreme Doutan. Extreme Doutan is a severe red-green colorblindness. I have little and maybe even no M cone photopigments. I can't help it. I confuse colors. I confuse green and brown and yellow and orange and red. Most of the time, I can't tell the difference between blue and purple. Pink, for me, is a very muted color. In fact, I would say for me, when I see what all of you call pink, I see as gray, it's bland, it's boring, and it's ugly. I can't help it. That's what my eyes see. When I see a traffic signal, the light that everybody calls green, for me, is white. The ones that are called red and yellow, I can't tell the difference except for their position. They say people with my kind of colorblindness have a 30% slower reaction time to the signals. Glad my insurance company doesn't know that. Of all of the color blends out there that you see, I see 2.5% of them. I see no other blending of colors. All the others are confusing colors to me and all look like something different than what you see. I only see 2.5% of what you see. To give you an example of what I see, all my life, peanut butter has been green. That's the what color it is. It's not gross, that's just what it is. I don't know what you see. I only know what I see. In other words, I wasn't born to see red. What color is that balloon?
Purple.
Even my physical inability to see that balloon as red does not change the fact and the truth that it is red. Is that balloon red? Do I have to even physically be capable to see that color for it to be red? No. Truth does not depend on any interpretation, any feeling, any compassion, any adamant will or belief. Truth is truth, and red is red. You cannot and you must not change the definition of color or make any concessions for me in relationship to that balloon because it is red and its redness does not depend on my ability to see it. And I think we are all colorblind to some extent. I don't mean in color, I mean in the third commandment. We can't help but put our own agendas into God's truth. I mean, you might be right when you do it, but you also might be wrong. And God's truth outlasts our agreement or our wish that his truth was different. So here's our takeaway today. Realize that you're not the voice of God. Be very careful when you say, God said. Make sure you know that God did say this. And there are plenty of things that God did say that we can clearly know God said. But when you're not sure, be sure you say, this is what I think. This is what I understand. This is what I believe God is saying. But make sure you leave room for what you're not sure of that God has said. Keep the door open and learn more clearly what God's truth is. Even if that truth confronts beliefs that you have, hopes that you have, or wishes that you have. You have to trust that God's way is good and God's way is the best. And that love can be given, and love can be seen, and love can be experienced through his truth and his truth alone, and that his love is the vehicle for that truth. the church, all of us, are to protect what it is that God said. Every week, we come here to this place and we talk about the things that God has said. And that is what we must do. And we must be very careful. As your pastor, I have to be very careful not to add ideas or words in his mouth. And I want you to not only hear, but I want you to speak his truths. And I want you just to do it here at Hillcrest, but I want you to do it everywhere that you and I represent him. I guess a good question to ask ourselves is this. What did God say about whatever our agenda is? Because when it comes to God's ideas, there are a lot of people that have their own feelings about his ideas. And though he says this idea is a red balloon, there are a lot of people that say I don't like that. Why can't it be blue for me? Or why can't it be green for me? Or why can't there not even be a balloon? I don't want there to be a balloon. And we live in a culture that is putting words in God's mouth right now. It seems to be huge in our culture. And we need to be sure that when God says something, that we let God say what he says. And it doesn't matter if I understand it or I agree with it. But he can stand on his word and his truth. But just because I struggle with one of those truths doesn't mean I get to change it. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Commandment number 3 for today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your truth. And your truth is hard for us to swallow sometimes. And just like a parent's instruction for a child, it's hard to live by. But we are confident that if we follow your truth, that it will lead us to the place where life is the best for us. It'll lead us to the place where your hope is for us. That it leads to the place where your blessings are for us. And so I ask that you help us to take active steps in that direction. And to be very careful that your spirit will nudge us along the way when we find ourselves in situations speaking for you when we have no business doing so. Let your love win out in our hearts and in our world. But in the midst of that love, may us never compromise your truth. And trust that your truth will still lead us and lead this world to the place of great hope. We do love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we're going to talk about the Sabbath. And I have a lot to say about that. So next week, come on back.